Good evening, everyone. This week's Parsha is Parsha's Mishpatim, Tavshin Pei, Shnas Tavshin Pei. And we're going to start in the middle of the Parsha. Perek Chaf Beis, Pasuk Chaf Dalet, Chapter 22, Verse 24, page 430 in the Arts Rol Chamish. Im Kesev Talve Es Ami, when you lend money to my nation, Es Ha'ani Imach, to the poor who is with you, do not act towards him like a creditor. Do not lay interest upon him. So the pasuk is telling us that when lending money, don't act like a creditor and do not put interest upon the person for the loan. Now the word im, the very first word of the pasuk im, which typically translate as if, Rashi tells us that don't translate it here as if. Everywhere else in the Torah, most places it means if, but here it means when. And Rashi tells us, Pasuk Chaf Dalet, Rashi says, Im kesev talve es ami, Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Rashi is quoting the Mechilta, Rabbi Shmuel says, Kol im ve'im sheba Torah reshus. Anywhere where we find the word im of the Torah, it means reshus, it means something that's not mandatory. Chutz mi gimel, except in three places. V'zeh echad mehen. And this im that we just read in this week's parasha, im kesev talveh, is one of the exceptions. Im typically means if. In three places, the word im means when. And this is one of those places. And that's because if you take the word im here to mean, as it typically does, that means you're saying, if you lend money to my people, if sounds like it's something that you don't have to do. But we know that if you have the money to lend and somebody needs a loan, then you have a mitzvah to lend. It's not just something that's voluntary. Somebody asks you for a loan and you have the money to lend, you have a mitzvah to lend the person the money. So if so, why would the Torah say if you lend money? You should say when you lend money. And therefore, Rashi cites the Mechilta to tell us that the word im here is one of the three places where im means when and not if. And therefore, it's translated as when you lend money to my people, to the poor amongst you, do not be like a creditor and do not put interest on this loan. Okay, the question is, fine. So we know that im needs to mean when. Well, why did the Torah use the word im? Why did the Torah use the typical word or the typical form of when something is a mitzvah, when something is an obligation? The Torah doesn't say if, the Torah says you do it. And therefore, why didn't the Torah just use the word when, kasher, which is the word for when? If it means when, just say the word when. Why say the word, take a word that typically means if, which means it's not mandatory, and tell us, well, here it doesn't mean not mandatory, here it means mandatory, here it means an obligation. Why use this word then? And therefore, the Mefarsh and the commentaries approach this in a number of interesting ways as to what the Torah is coming to allude to by using this word. Yes, the basic interpretation, the pshat, the basic interpretation of the pasuk, here where it says im, you have to translate it as when. But what the Torah is trying to teach us by using the word im, which typically means if, why did the Torah decide to use this word? There has to be a reason for it. And the reason is going to be because it's alluding to something. It's trying to allude to something else that lies within this mitzvah. And I'm going to share with you a couple of explanations here. The first explanation comes from the Das HaKeinim Balei Tosfos, where the Das HaKeinim says, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Chassid, the lekach nechta b'loshen im, why did the Torah decide to use the word im? Lefisha pa'amim shumishus, because there are times where lending is actually not obligatory. Now, they don't say, like, when you don't have money, because if you don't have the money, then, you know, you wouldn't be lending, typically. But it means, lefisha pa'amim shumishus, there are times when it's not mandatory. For instance, somebody who borrows money and doesn't pay. So a guy comes to you, somebody comes to you and says, can you lend me $500? You know this guy has a track record of not paying back. Maybe he's done it to you before. Such a person, you're not obligated to lend money to. If you're lending money to a person, then lending means he's going to pay you back. If you know that he's not going to pay you back, then you don't have a mitzvah to this person. The Mishnah, therefore, the Torah says, Im Kesef. And let's say you decide you're going to do it anyway. You know the guy needs help. And yes, he's got problems, doesn't pay back his debts. But you know he needs help, and you want to help him anyway. Okay? So the Torah says the word Im, if, to say that there are, number one, there are going to be times where, you know, it's not an obligation. Is it still a mitzvah? It may still be a mitzvah to lend a person money, but if you lend a person money, it's trying to allude to the idea that there are ifs. There are times when you're not obligated to lend the money, and the example of that would be, or one example of that would be, when you know the person's not going to pay you back. If you know the person's not going to pay you back, then you don't have an obligation. If you decide. If you decide to lend them the money, and if you decide out of the goodness of your heart to sell them the money, you can't say, well, you know, I know he's not going to pay me back, so I can charge him interest now. No, you still can't charge him interest. Still can't charge him interest. But the word im is being used to allude to a type of loan where it's an im, it's an if. It's not an obligation. And the Das Kanim says the example of that is where the person you know is not going to pay you back. Okay, that's the Das Kanim's explanation. The Bar Benel explains it in the following way. And he says like this. Okay. Okay. Lefisha mitzvah ha'ikaris be'enai, the Bar Benel says, when it comes to this mitzvah, now we know there's a mitzvah of tzedakah, right? And the mitzvah of tzedakah, if I tell you, ask you, what's tzedakah? You'll tell me charity. What's charity? You give a person money. A person needs money, and you give it to him. That's tzedakah. Lending him money, right? You don't necessarily apply that to tzedakah. But it is tzedakah. If a person needs money, and you lend him the money, and he's willing to take a loan, and he wants to borrow the money, and you lend him the money, you've done the mitzvah of tzedakah in that form. But the Bar Benel says like this. The main way that you should be helping a person, the way you should be helping a person with his monetary needs is by giving him a gift. That's how you should be doing it. You want to know how to do tzedakah? What's the highest form of helping a person out monetarily? Is to give him the money, to give him a gift. And he brings other psukim, and he brings number of psukim in which we see in the Torah that, yeah, the Torah clearly is talking about giving him the money. Nonetheless, v'lozeh amar ha-kasev, the pasuk comes and teaches us, im kasev talves ami, if you lend him money, retzeh loymar meaning, shema ani lo yirtzeh l'kabalat tzedakah b'matana. He doesn't want to take charity. He doesn't want to take gifts. She'oz hi abatara salva, so that then the tzedakah you do with him is to lend him the money. Okay, and let's say you're not holding by giving him a gift. You're not ready to part with your money like that. But you're willing to give him a loan. Don't be like a creditor, which we'll see soon what that means, which it means to embarrass him about his payment. And don't schlep him to a court of law to make him pay when he can't pay you. Rather wait until he has a chance. So the point of the Bar Benel says I like this. You're right. Lending money is a mitzvah. But it's not the real way to do tzedakah. The way initially tzedakah should be done is a gift. That's how you should do it. It's not the same thing. Giving him a gift and lending him money is not the same thing. The Torah actually doesn't want you to put the person in need in that kind of a situation. Give him the gift. Im kesef taves ami, but if you do lend him the money, either because he doesn't want to take a gift, he only wants to take a loan, or you're not holding by giving your money away. Well, when you do that, when you lend him the money, these are the rules. Don't charge interest. Don't embarrass him, which we'll talk about soon what that means exactly. So the Abarbanel says the reason why the Torah used the word im, if, is because it's trying to tell you lending money is second tier, right? Highest level of tzedakah is give him the money. If you lend him the money because for whatever reason you're not giving him a gift of money, here are the rules. Here are the rules about lending somebody money. That's how the Abarbanel explains why the Torah used the word im. The Maharal explains why the Torah says the word im in the following way. Now, to appreciate what the Maharal is going to do, we really have to go back to Parshas Yisro. In Parshas Yisro, the Torah tells us, "V'imizbeach avadim tasali," and if you build for me a stone, a altar made out of stones, do not use metal to cut the stone. Now here also Rashi, in this pasuk Rashi also says the word im doesn't fit. Because it's not im, it's not if, it's when. You're going to do that. You're going to build a mizbeach of stone. So therefore Rashi there says, this is really the first place in the Torah where the Torah uses the word im, and it really means when. By the altar, by making the altar in the Beis HaMikdash. Okay? Then Rashi mentions our pasuk, which is im kesef talve. That's our pasuk of Spring's parsha. When you lend money, using the word im, if. And then also we have the pasuk im takrev minchas bikurim. If you will offer a meal offering of your first grain, which is talking about the Omer sacrifice, which is from the first barley grain. There it also says, if you offer. It's not if you offer, you have to offer it. That's the third place where the Torah uses the word im, which typically means if, and in these three places it means when. But the Maharal wants to explain why the Torah used the word im. So the Maharal says in a beautiful way, in all these three examples, again, the example of building the Mizbeach, lending money, and bringing the Omer. If you're going to approach these mitzvahs and do this as an obligation, you're doing it just as fulfilling the decree of the king, Ein hadavar l'ratzon l'Kadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem will not be pleased with that. But tzarach sheyase meritzonai, you have to do it because you want to do it. You have to do it with your will. You have to do it that you have to do it. You have to do it because you want to do it. Va'oz k'sheyase meritzonai hu merutze. And then when you do it willingly, that's when it's accepted. Hamayshu achreichi v'chayva ein tzarech lahabit el shum tam. Rak hu. Mekayim gzeres hamelech. When it comes to fulfilling a decree, the king makes the decree. Why am I doing it? Because the king said so. That is how you fulfill a decree. If the king makes a decree, his decree is, if he's making a decree, then the basis you're performing is the decree. What's the reason? Yeah, maybe it's good to know the reason, but when you do it, you're doing it, you're going to do it as the decree of the king. But if you do these three things as one who is just fulfilling the decree of a king, ein zedavar. It's ein zedavar means it almost sounds like it doesn't count. Now, I don't think it means that far, it won't count as a mitzvah, but it means that it's really going to degrade the value of the mitzvah. Because the truth is, you know, we always talk about how mitzvahs, the basis of all mitzvahs is Hashem's decree, not the reason behind the mitzvah. That's the basis. But at the same time, when we do a mitzvah, you're supposed to do it with feeling, with love, with understanding. You know, yeah, clearly all mitzvahs, there is definitely an advantage when you do a mitzvah because Hashem's decree. The reasons are also going to be involved. The reasons, as the Sefer Chinuch says, reasons are lessons we take from it. When it comes to these mitzvahs, if I understand the Maharal correctly, the Maharal is saying, the Maharal's not saying that you don't do these three mitzvahs because of Hashem's decree. Those three mitzvahs are also the basis for the mitzvahs, Hashem's decree. But inherent in the performance of the mitzvah is that you do it willingly. Because if you're not doing it willingly, then the mitzvah is going to really be missing its essence. It's really missing its essence. If I go ahead and I take a lulav and I shake it because Hashem told me to do it. Why is he wanting me to shake a lulav? I have no idea why he wants me to shake a lulav. Okay? But who wants me to shake the lulav? I'll shake the lulav. I'll shake the lulav. Okay? It's probably to do it with joy and with love and with feeling because it's the kriya of the king. That's the higher form of doing it. But essentially, you do. If I shake the lulav because Hashem told me to shake the lulav, the king told me shake the lulav, I shake it, I've done the mitzvah. The mitzvah essentially is all there. The Maharal is saying here that by these three mitzvahs, if you just do it because Hashem told you to do it, then the mitzvah itself, the essential mitzvah, is going to be lacking. It's lacking in the mitzvah itself if you just do these as Hashem's decree. Ki imbayna mizbeach. Says the Maharal, you build an altar. Why are you building an altar? To worship God on it, to bring a sacrifice. And the only reason he does it is because Hashem told him to. Ain't Zavaida. That's worship. That's how you worship God. God, the king told me, build an altar, take the animal, slaughter it, slap it, burn it. That's what Aveda is? That's what worship is? Divine worship is? Of course not. If you are worshiping, if you're serving, you have to serve, you have to do that serving because you want to do the serving. And then you're a servant. Then you're a worshiper. Then you're a servant of Hashem. But if the point is, you're doing it because I have to do it, you're not a worshiper. You're not serving God. You're just going in and fulfilling what God's twisting your arm. You don't want him to whack you, so you do it. But are you serving God then? To serve God in the form of a carbon, the mitzvah itself, inherent in the mitzvah itself, is you got to be doing that mitzvah out of your will, because you want to do it. Otherwise, you're not serving.
Going to say that you should understand what you're doing.
That's not his point here. That's not his point. His point here is that I'm not supposed to just be doing it because the king told me to do it. When I do it, I have to be doing it because I want to do it. That may help. But here the point is that you can't just, if you're just going to do it because God told me to do it. If you're just doing it because God told me to do it, then he's saying the mitzvah itself is lacking.
No, I'm going to say the same thing. What? You knew better exactly what...
That could help, but that's not the point. Because even if you don't know what it's about, I have no idea what a carbon does. I have no idea how a carbon works. Why are you doing it? Why are you doing it? Because God told me to. No, I want to do it because God tells me to do it. But I'm doing this thing. I have to be doing it because I want to do it. Because otherwise, it's not going to work. It's like when you daven to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, right? If you're davening because I have to daven. That's like when the king tells you, praise me, but you have no interest praising him. That's not real. The whole thing is missing. The whole thing is fake. That's what he's saying here. If you perform it only in a sense of I have to do this, then the mitzvah is missing in its essence. And then he continues, V'chaynim hilva kesef. Okay? The same thing. You went in and you lent money. Now, this is really interesting. V'chaynim hilva kesef. Ki'ilu mekayim gzeres ha-melech. So too, let's say you lend money to a person. Why are you lending it? God told me to. Meaning, I don't want to lend this fiat money, but I have to. The king told me to.
What about fear of Hashem? Where does that come in? What does the Lord require of me to fear Hashem? Not to be happy in what you're doing, not to understand what you're doing. Fear.
No. First of all, fear doesn't necessarily mean that. But fear. Right, we have two levels of fear, right? We have a level of fear that I don't want to get whacked, right? And I have a level of fear that I'm in awe. Okay. Now, those are things that clearly those are going to be your motivators. Those are going to be the things that make you what makes you tick, so to speak, right? So those things are meant to be there. But I can still have fear of Hashem and still want to do it. And what he's saying is the Maharal is that, and again, here he uses a very strong word when he says, and if you lend the money just to fulfill the king's decree, ain't a mitzvah. It's not a mitzvah. Now, I'm not ready to go so far as to say it's not a mitzvah at all, okay? Because we do know that, it's just, if I do a mitzvah, even if I didn't want to do it, I did the mitzvah. But I think what he means is, what he's saying here is that the mitzvah itself is really, really lacking. And if I just, like I said before, you take a lulav only because of, like you say, I don't want Hashem to punish me, right? I did the mitzvah of lulav. Now, if I do the mitzvah of lulav because I want to do the mitzvah, that's definitely a big plus for the performance of the mitzvah. It's a very important thing that I should add to the mitzvah. Here, the desire to do is part of the actual mitzvah itself. If you don't do these mitzvahs willingly, then the mitzvah itself, the performance of the mitzvah itself is lacking, is missing. So now he talks about when you're lending money. He says, if you lend money because the king, just because the king decreed it, ain't a mitzvah. Ki tzarech shiya mitzvahs halva meretzonei b'leiv atoiv. K'dechsiv ap b'nesina v'layera levavcha. When you give a person money and help him, you have to be doing it willingly. Your heart has to be into it. That is essential in tzedakah. Essential in tzedakah is that I'm doing it because I feel for this person. I want to help this person. I want to do this. I want to do this. If I'm just doing it because my arm is being twisted, the mitzvah is lacking. When you're lending money, you need to be doing it because you want to do it. Your heart has to be into it. And it's interesting, I just realized right now, he doesn't talk about, you know, you want to do it because, I mean, I guess you want to do it typically means you want to do it because you want to help him. That is essential for the performance of the mitzvah. In order for the mitzvah of tzedakah not to be incomplete, it's going to be incomplete. The mitzvah itself is going to be incomplete if it's done only because you had to do it. You have to do the mitzvah of tzedakah willingly. You have to want to do it. You have to want to help the person. The same thing when it comes to offering the omer. The Torah told us you cannot eat any of the new grain until you bring the omer. And our sages explain that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam brings the clouds together, makes it rain, he has the dewfall, he causes things to grow out of the ground, and he fattens the produce. And what do we do back for him? We give him back something. He gives us so much. He gives us everything that we need. He gives us our sustenance, and he gives us plentiful sustenance. And how do we reciprocate? How do we show our gratitude? We give him back a little omer carbon. Right? One little omer carbon for the whole people. It's all to acknowledge that he's the one who gave us everything. If you want to thank somebody, right, you got to mean it. Not like a king of flesh and blood who, you know, puts a gun to your head and says, thank me, right? You better thank me. You better show your homage. You better say, oh, thank you. Oh, king who gives us everything. You know, you don't mean a thing, but you better say, you know, it's good for you. That's not here. You have to acknowledge from your heart that everything comes from him. But if you fulfill the mitzvah as if you're forced because the king making you do it, that's not acknowledging that Hashem made everything. And therefore, the fulfillment has to be done as if it is something voluntary. So the Maharal is telling us that when it comes to these three mitzvahs, the mitzvah itself mandates that you do it with your will. The mitzvah mandates that although, of course, it is a mitzvah, and we recognize it's a commandment, you have to fulfill it as if you didn't have to do it. You have to fulfill it because you want to do it. Your desire to do it has to be there. If it's not there, then the mitzvah itself is going to be lacking. Again,
you can't control desire.
So that's a separate question. There's a lot of questions like that. How do you control belief? How do you control love? How do you control a lot? That question is a question on a lot of things. And the point is that how do you do it? You got to work on it. That's the answer. You got to work on it. You got to go ahead. And that's why I think, and that's your question, I think, to me, adds to the point that I don't believe the Maharal is saying you haven't fulfilled the mitzvah. Because what if a person's not holding there? right?
He's not there yet.
He's not there yet. So that's why the mitzvah is counts. It counts as a mitzvah, but the mitzvah itself is lacking. The mitzvah itself is lacking. Like again, Professor said, when you shake a lulav, if you shake a lulav because I have to do it, my mitzvah is complete. Is it lacking a very important, call it added part to a mitzvah, called doing it with joy? Yes, it is. Doing mitzvah with joy, as the Mefarshim say, in some ways is even greater than the mitzvah itself. But that's an addition to the mitzvah. Here, doing it because you want to do it is not an addition to the mitzvah. It's an inherent part of the mitzvah itself. If you don't have the desire, you'll still get a credit. But the mitzvah itself will be lacking.
Sometimes isn't the desire...
What?
Sometimes it's when you're doing a mitzvah, you're thinking, maybe I shouldn't do it.
And that's why Martin said you have to have fear of Hashem. You have to have fear of Hashem. At the end of the day, it's important to get it done, and whatever, and if it takes fear to get it done, that's what it takes. But if you want it, but here the Maharal is telling us something that these mitzvahs, you really need to work on doing it because you want to do it. Otherwise, the mitzvah itself is lacking.
Why would you want to do it?
You want to do it because Hashem told you to do it, and that's why I want to do it. I don't want to. I'm not just doing it because.
Why is it different than the when you're doing it because Hashem told you?
There's two different things. There's one way of doing it. There's one way of doing it where you say, I really don't want to do this, but I have to do it. And then there is, I have to do it, and I want to do it. Is that correct or right? Is that right or wrong?
When he says, I want to do it, yeah. He has to have a reason.
His reason could be because I want to do what Hashem wants. His reason could be because he understands it. His reason could be when the Maharal talks about when you serve Hashem, you have to serve Hashem because you want to. When you thank Hashem, you have to thank Hashem wanting to thank Hashem. Do you need explanation more to why to thank someone, you got to want to thank someone and not just mouth the words and not mean it? Is that hard to understand? That's not hard to understand. That makes a lot of sense, right? You're not thanking someone if you don't really mean it, okay? So that we understand. You're not worshiping Hashem when you bring him a carbon, right? You're not worshiping Hashem. You're not making a connection to Hashem if you're not showing your desire to come close to Hashem if you don't really want to do it, okay? That's essential. That's essential in the mitzvah itself. And when it comes to lending money and helping someone, the Maharal is saying there too, if you're only doing it because I have to do it, right? The mitzvah is really lacking. You have to really want to do it.
Which is worth more, doing something because you're lending money because you enjoy lending money or lending money because you're told to lend money?
It depends why you're enjoying it. If you're enjoying it independent of the mitzvah, that could be a problem. But I understand the Maharal is saying you got to have both. You have to always understand what you're doing is a mitzvah, but when you do the mitzvah, do it with your heart. Do it willingly. Do it willingly. Do it because you want to do it. And you're right. When it comes to lending money, doing because you want to do it would mean you want to help the person. You want to help the person. But it's both together. It's understanding it's a mitzvah. It's understanding the basis of the mitzvah, but I want to do the mitzvah.
I would think it would be that you want to please Hashem. Not that you want to lend the money, but you want to please Hashem.
And that may be...
Nothing to do with the lending and the money.
But he says that...
If you're enjoying the lending, then it's not worth as much. If you're not enjoying it...
I don't know. That's not what he's...
Enjoy pleasing Hashem, but you don't enjoy lending the money. That's even better, maybe.
It depends what he means. Let me ask you a question. Could you apply that to any mitzvah?
I would hope so.
Okay, but he doesn't, right? He's saying it's specifically by these three mitzvahs, right? So there's something here by this mitzvah of lending money, right? That there's something about your desire, your willingness to do it, that's unique to this. Or I would expand it unique to any kind of chesed, any kind of kindness to a person. So you know, to please Hashem, that applies in any mitzvah, right? So that's why I think here the idea of pleasing, right? Now again, when it comes to the idea of pleasing is not just pleasing Hashem, but his idea here is that you are pleased to do this act. This act itself, you're pleased to do. Now again, I would have thought that perhaps pleasing means to make Hashem happy, but I mean, you could say that by any mitzvah. Why by these three?
Amen.
These three, it's more. It seems to be more inherent in the act itself.
When you give someone money,
yeah.
Are you thinking, what's he going to do with the money? You know, it's a whole different ballgame.
So
is he going to buy drugs with it?
Look, look. That's not relevant to what we're saying here right now. That's not the point. There are considerations and there are thoughts. This is not exclusive of the considerations you have to have. The point is, though, when you have the right person who needs the money and you give him the money, the morale is saying, if you do it willingly, you've got the mitzvah. If you don't do it willingly, the mitzvah is really lacking. The mitzvah itself is lacking. When you got the mitzvah to do. So it's an interesting morale. In what he's saying here, and hope he got it right. Good, but the point is, so good. That's what it is. The point is, when you lend the money, feel rachmanis.
Yeah, all right.
When you lend the money, feel rachmanis. Now again, you have to have like Martin's point was before. You don't forget about there's a mitzvah here. You don't forget about there's a mitzvah here. I'm not just doing it because this is what my heart tells me to do. You always are aware there's a mitzvah here, right? But when you do it, like the morale says, you do it as if it's not a mitzvah. You do it as if it's not a mitzvah. You do it because this is what you want to do. Even if Hashem didn't tell me to connect with him, to worship him, I want to worship him. Even if Hashem said, don't lend him the money, I want to lend him the money. Even if Hashem were to say, don't bring an omer, I want to show my gratitude, right? All these things can operate independent of a mitzvah. But it doesn't mean that you should forget about the mitzvah. But it means that when you do the mitzvah, do it as if you were be doing it without a mitzvah. And that again, the morale says it by these three things specifically more than a lulav. No one's saying that it's better to do a mitzvah of lulav, right, with a feeling of, I would shake the silly even if Hashem didn't tell you to. Maybe it doesn't make sense to say that, right? But in these three things, it's very important that when you do the mitzvah, you do it as if there's no mitzvah. As if you were doing it on your own. Martin, so I just wanted to bring out a point because I just realized now from the wording that the Maral uses, and he says, fulfill the mitzvah as if it was voluntary. Okay? So that means your performance of the mitzvah has to be looked upon in a sense like if Hashem didn't tell me to do it, I'd do it anyway. Right? So even if Hashem told me, don't lend him the money, I'd still lend it. Does that work with saying because I'm doing it to please Hashem?
No, I think it's saying if you're lending someone money and you really don't want to be doing it, don't do it with a sour face. Do it with a smile. I think that's what it means.
But you do it with a smile and still not be really, really doing it.
Because you can't force yourself.
Okay, so that's a set. But he's saying that your mitzvah is really, you can't force yourself, but you got to work towards that. Because if you don't do that, the morale is saying the mitzvah is lacking.
But as if means the smile instead.
No, that's not what it says. No. As if, he means more than that. As if means your whole approach to the mitzvah is I'm approaching it as if I'm performing it as if I would do it on my own without him telling me to do it.
I think you have.
Not as if faking it like I really want to do it.
Enhancing it.
I think you've got to put yourself.
It's an enhancement, clearly.
I think you've got to put yourself on the other side.
True.
Gee whiz, if I
true.
Didn't have anything in her, boy,
true. True.
I'm in trouble. Could
that is true. That is true. That's true. That would definitely work. That would definitely work.
And how about a brocha? There's no brocha like when you give tzedakah, is there? That I ever saw.
No.
I mean, most things there are a brocha.
There is a discussion about that. Okay. But let's try to get in one more explanation here. One more thing. Aruch Chaim has another explanation as to why he uses the word im. So he says like this. He explains that the reason why the Torah uses the word im is for the following. Sometimes you see people that have a lot of money. Right? You see people have a lot of money. They've got lots of money. They've got so much money they have nothing to do with it. Right. That's how I find something to do with it. Okay? Now, and then you have the people who don't have the money they need. So the Ar HaChaim says, when you look at the people who don't have the money they need, there's an understanding to that. The understanding is that although the Ribbono Shel Olam gives, if the Ribbono Shel Olam created a person, right, then the person should be sustained. Ribbono Shel Olam is not going to create a person not to be sustained. But it could be that for whatever reason, Hashem has decided that maybe because of this person's sins or some other rectification for his neshama that's necessary, he won't have an easy time getting his sustenance. It's part of his atonement that he should struggle getting his sustenance. Why this person? The Rebbe has his reasons. Why does this person need an atonement? And that atonement would be by way of having to struggle for his sustenance. We can understand that. But how are we supposed to understand the person who has more money than he needs? When did Yaakov Avinu ask Hashem when he had a dream by the ladder? After the dream of the ladder, what did he ask for? Beged lilbush. He asked for garments to wear and bread to eat. He asked for his basic needs. That's what he asked for. That's what Yaakov Avinu asked for. So why is Hashem giving this person way more than he needs? The answer is because the Ribbono Shel Olam, since there is this other person who is supposed to be lacking his needs, because Ribbono Shel Olam decided this person needs the atonement, needs the rectification that comes from that suffering of being of not having his sustenance. Well, it's got to come from somewhere, right? It's got to come from somewhere. So Ribbono Shel Olam decides, where does it come from? The person who's got the extra money. And therefore, by having the other person, giving the other person the extra money, so to speak, you accomplish that. Number one, the poor man gets his atonement because he's got to ask the person for it. And number two, it becomes a mitzvah, becomes a merit for the person who's giving it to him. And therefore, the approach of how someone who is wealthy and now uses his wealth to help people, the approach of that is, the Ribbono Shel Olam gave me all this money, right? So that I should take care of the people who are supposed to be getting this, who are really supposed to be getting this anyway. They're supposed to be getting it because they need it for their sustenance. Ribbono Shel Olam decided that they have to rough it. Okay, and who's going to be the one that's going to take care of that? The person who has the extra money.
You hope.
You hope. But that's how he's supposed to look at it. So therefore, the Ar HaChaim says like this, Im kesef talves ami. What's the if? Again, it's supposed to be a mitzvah. What's the if? Im kesef talves ami. If you lend money, means if you've got enough money to lend, right? Im kesef talves ami. If you're lending money to my people, which means you're capable of lending money, es ha'ani imach. Realize is that es ha'ani, that which belongs to the poor person, imach, is with you. You've got what's supposed to go to him. If you see that you've got the money to lend, you've got to, if you need the money, then, you know, you need the money for yourself. If you're lending money, that means you don't need the money. Okay, well, if you don't need the money, so then how do you look at that? You look at that as the needy person's money is my need. And when that is the person's attitude, then number one, the person who has the money will fulfill the mitzvah tzedakah. And that's number one. And number two, when he gives the money to the poor man, he won't do it in a way that he embarrasses the poor man. Won't do it in a way of looking down at the poor man. Because on the contrary, right? This money is not really supposed to be for me. It's really the money that's supposed to be for him. I've become the manager. I'm the distributor. And when a person has that attitude, then already the person has the attitude that motivates him to do the mitzvah as he should. And not only to motivate him to do the mitzvah as he should, do it in the proper way of not looking down upon the person that he's helping.